constantly does that. And he'll deliver you if you'll let him, all right? And if by chance, as those three Hebrews said, if not, it'll still be all right, okay? It'll still be all right. I do have another unspoken request that I would ask you to pray for. There's a couple of folks that we know that need some help from God. So if you would ask the Lord to help them, I would appreciate that very much. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading down in verse 7. The Bible said, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Rama, and Sabtecha, and the sons of Ramza, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Now, I want you to turn over there just to the next chapter, chapter 11. Look with me there in verse 1. The Bible said, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. This, in chapter 11, is the story of what we know as the Tower of Babel. All right. And by the way, I want you to look. You said, preacher, what's this got to do with what we read in chapter 10? Well, you were paying attention, weren't you, there in verse 10? Where it says, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, all right? And all those other places, notice, in the land of Shinar, all right? That's where they were. It was in the plain in the land of Shinar where they dwelt, where they began to build. And so there is that connection. And I mentioned to you, I want to preach to you this morning. I told you this morning I was going to preach on notions from Nimrod. Nimrod's one of those individuals in the Bible that really and truly the Bible doesn't give us a great deal of information about him, all right? It just doesn't. We don't know a great deal about him. We don't know about his childhood and all of that. We really don't know from the scriptures how he wound up, where he lived, you know, where he died and how he died. We don't know those things. But the few things that we do know, there's some things we can learn, all right? Nimrod's an unusual character. We're not going to delve into it tonight, but he is a great type of the Antichrist and one of the early types of the Antichrist in the scriptures. But I want instead to look at his life, some things that we can surmise from his life. And I want to begin by just saying to you, you know, people get notions. People get notions. And you say, what in the world's a notion? That's a word we don't hear a whole lot anymore. Used to hear somebody say, man, I got a notion to do this. Say, what is that notion? Well, that notion is an idea or a thought that's usually acted upon, or people are planning to act upon that idea. Nimrod got some notions. We're going to look at some of them. A lot of times those notions come and they carry us in the wrong direction. They did with Nimrod. His notions weren't in the right direction. So obviously they're to be avoided, you know, but I have found that a lot of times God's people get the same notions, the same ideas that Nimrod did. And they wind up going in the wrong direction just like Nimrod did. So we're going to look at it tonight, and I'm going to take the negative view. I hate to preach negative. I know you expect positive only, but it's going to be don't all the way through, all right? It's going to be don't all the way through, because the notions that Nimrod got were not good things for us, all right? First thing I want you to look at is there in Genesis chapter 11. Would you look in verse 3? The Bible says there towards the end of the verse, as they were building and they were going to build, that they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. I want to speak to you. First of all, first point is don't settle for substitutes. Don't settle for substitutes. You see, that's exactly what Nimrod and these folks did, all right? The Bible said they didn't use stone to build with, they used brick. Now, hey, the brick they used is not like the brick maybe on your house, all right? Those brick that are on your house are sturdy. They were made and made carefully, and they will really stand up some things. But the brick that they're talking about here, these were mud brick, all right? They were taking form from mud, put in a form, let dry, and then the form was taken off, and they slapped them up there. And the Bible said they didn't have mortar to join them together. Instead, they used slime for mortar, all right? They had some substitutes, all right? It's amazing how much substitute there is for things in our day. It is also amazing how much difference it can make if you use the substitute instead of the real thing. All of you know I'm on a diet. I have seen, before I ever went on this diet, I would see a package, and it was riced cauliflower. And I'd heard about people using cauliflower in place of rice. And I thought to myself, that sounds disgusting, all right? And I said, man, why would you, if you can eat rice, I can't imagine cauliflower and gravy. I just can't, all right? I'm a believer in rice and gravy, but I can't. But I tell you what, I found out on this diet, you can eat rice, cauliflower. Well, you don't have to like it. You can eat it, okay? And it does have a little bit of consistency of rice, and it is a substitute for rice. But boy, it's not as good as rice, okay? Just want to tell you that right up front. It's just not as good, but it'll substitute. It'll substitute. And then thinking along the same line, I don't know why I'm thinking along the food line a lot these days, but I was thinking about powdered potatoes and powdered eggs, substitute for the real thing. Man, you go in a restaurant, and before I order mashed potatoes, I say, are those real potatoes? Because if it's powdered potatoes, you can have mine, okay? Now, it sort of looks like potatoes, but man, it's just not the same, right? You've had the substitute. The substitute's just not as good, all right? It's just not as good. Now, occasionally, you can get away with a substitution, but I'll say to you, the results usually, they're just not as good, all right? And when it comes to food, I've never found the substitute be as good as the thing it's substituting for. Never had that happen. Now, if you have, good for you, all right? Well, I look at them here at Babel, and I think of Nimrod, and here he was. That's the beginning of his kingdom, and I thought, why in the world would they use that kind of substitute? Hey, can I tell you this? They don't last as long, okay? But what made them do it? Maybe old Nimrod just got in a hurry. You ever done that? You ladies that are cooks, I told you it's food in my mind, all right? You ladies that are cooks, you ever got down and you're cooking the meal and you go, where's my, man, I don't have it, it's not here. And so you grab something and say, I'm going to just substitute this for what I was going to use, right? Why? Well, you're in a hurry. You get in a hurry. I notice a lot of people get in a hurry. Maybe they got in a hurry, and because they were in a hurry to build this tower, they weren't going to wait for the best materials. They say, we can use whatever we've got. I can't help it. I begin to think of God's people. I think of a lot of God's people that get in a hurry. And boy, did they ever make some major mistakes. A lot of people get in a hurry getting married. Get in a hurry getting married. They wind up married to the wrong person. Just in a hurry. Well, I just got to get, wait a minute, no you don't. Well, you don't understand. I've decided I love them. Wait a minute. You don't have to get married just because you love somebody, okay? You don't need to be in a hurry. I don't know how many times I've sat with young couples that were wanting to get married, and I said, listen, would you just wait a while? Would you just be willing? Would you wait just a little while? Good heavens, they were young, all right? They were very young. And because they were all that young, they had time to wait. But no, we can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. Okay, well, I'm going to pray that it works out, but I'm really worried. But we're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. A lot of people get in a hurry. A lot of people get in a hurry when it comes to a job and get in a hurry with their career. And they think, man, I've got to take that promotion. Wait a minute, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe that's not what you need to do. Be careful. I tell you, it's when people get in a hurry, they make mistakes. Married when I was 27 years old. She said, why? It took me a long time to talk her into it. All right? Just wasn't easy, all right? Now, you said, well, why? Wait, I could have got married younger. But I'd have married the wrong person. Not a bad person. The wrong person. Do you understand? The wrong person. Be careful about getting in a hurry. Be careful about getting in a hurry. I've got some kin folks, they got in a hurry. And now they're working on the third marriage. They didn't need to be in a hurry. Didn't need to be in a hurry. Listen, my friend, you be careful. You be careful about settling for substitutes. And when I'm talking about substitutes, I mean you be careful about accepting any substitute for God's best for you. You learn to get on your knees before God and seek His will. Well, I'm just in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Well, I know life's fleeting. It is, but it's a lot worse when you're out of the will of God and when you've messed things up because you got in a hurry and you took a substitute for God's best. Took a substitute for God's best. Don't let that happen to you. That's what Nimrod did. He got in a hurry. He settled for substitutes. Hey, don't do that. Number two, don't choose a kingdom over the king. Don't choose a kingdom over the king. Notice, if you will, there in verse 10, all right? The beginning of his kingdom. The beginning of his kingdom. Nimrod's the first man in the Bible mentioned in connection to a kingdom. First man in the Bible mentioned in connection to a kingdom. Now listen, Nimrod, I think, is the 13th from Adam, okay? He wasn't that far removed. You with me? He wasn't that far removed from Adam. You mark her down. Adam's sons were still around when Nimrod got on the scene. All right? He was the son of Cush. All right? He was the son of Cush. He was, I guess, what, the great-grandson of Ham. Hey, listen, not Ham. He was great-grandson. These people, all right? These people, I want you to understand, okay? They were not far removed. They knew, he knew the truth. He knew the truth, but he was motivated in a different direction. He wasn't interested in God. He was motivated instead to lift himself up and his own fame, rather than concerned with anything to do with God and the will of God. He just wanted it bigger and better, all right? Bigger and better. He chose the kingdom over the king, all right? Now listen, you and I, we know who the king is, all right? We know who the king is. But yet I go through life and I see so many Christians in our day, and we preach these kind of things to teenagers oftentimes. But it's not just teenagers that are guilty. It's adults. It's people no longer teens. It's people well out of their teens. They seem intent on building their own empire. I'm going to do everything I can to build my empire, and we're not going to worry about putting God first in our life. We're not going to worry about serving the king. Instead, we're going to worry about building our own wealth. We're just interested in that. That's all we're interested in. I've mentioned to you before, when I was in high school, I sat down in the counselor's office, and I made good grades in high school, and I sat in the counselor's office, and asked me, so what do you think about doing? What are you going to do? And I said, well, I think I'm going to be a teacher. And never forget the words out of a counselor in high school said, you're too smart for that. Oh, so all the dummies are the ones that are teaching us, all right? No wonder we're struggling, okay? No wonder we got so many kids having a hard time, you know. But that's exactly the words they said. And it was really what they were saying is, you can make a lot more money. You can make a lot more money. Hey, I'll just be honest with you. I was teaching in public school, and I'd taught in public school for 35, 40 years. I'd be making more money right now than I am. But I'm not interested in building my empire. I'm not interested in a kingdom. I'm interested in the king. I want to know what he wants. I wanted to know what he wanted in my life, all right? But boy, we live in a day where money is the supreme thing. And people are focused on it, and it's all about, you know, getting all you can, having as much as you can, and get it, lay it up. If you listen, I get so irritated trying to listen to the radio on Saturday. The only thing I can listen to that I can stand is an auto car show on there, and it's entertaining. But everything else on Saturday all day long is some kind of financial deal. And how to invest and, you know, all this. And every one of them is pushing something special. And they're all pushing something a little different. But every one of them says, this is where to put your money, all right? This is where to, man, if you do it, you retire early, all right? Hey, that's the goal of people today, make a lot of money, live in a mansion, all right? Live in a huge mansion. Listen, I found out a long time ago, I can only sleep in one bedroom at a time. So it's not important I have 15 bedrooms in my house. I just need one for me and my wife, okay? And when we had kids, one for them. Now we don't even need it for them, all right? They said, well, what about your grandkids come over? That's why you have blankets to put a pallet on the floor, all right? That's where they need to sleep. They don't need a bed, all right? We get all tied up, though. I want the biggest and the best and the latest and the greatest. Wait a minute. That's what Nimrod thought, too. Nimrod said, I'm building a kingdom. But he forgot about the king. He forgot about the king. He chose that kingdom over the king. Listen, if you're tonight, you're a child of God, every child of God, the question uppermost in our mind ought to be just exactly what Paul asked on the road to Damascus. It ought to be, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, you're graduating from high school. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We got two guys graduating high school this year. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Now listen, I'm not saying that your plans are wrong. I'm saying you check it out with God. But I want to say this to you. If you get to that time, you think about getting married. Lord, what will thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? Hey, it's a lot worse to be married to the wrong person than it is to be single. Boy, it's a lot worse. A lot of things. It's time for a career change, Lord. What would thou have me to do? Hey, preacher, I don't have to worry about that. I've been married for umpteen years. My kids are all gone. You know, everything's fine. Not only that, I don't have to worry about a career. I'm retired. Good. The question ought to be, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That ought to be our question. Lord, what will thou have me to do? It ought not to be based on anything else except, Lord, I'm interested in the king. I'm interested in what he's got. Hey, don't choose the kingdom over the king. Don't do that. Third thing I want you to see, I want you to look in verse 10 there verse 9 of chapter 10. The Bible said he was a mighty hunter, notice, before the Lord. It says that twice in that same verse, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter, before the Lord. Before the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Every time when I think of before somebody, I'm thinking, okay, that means you're right in front of them where they can see you, right? You can be seen. But in the scriptures, that terminology, before the Lord, carries with it the meaning of over against. Over against. So in this case, it was Nimrod over against God. Over against God. Then I want you to notice in chapter 11, verse 4, notice what those folks said. They said, let us build us a city. Hey, you want something else? You talk about a notion of Nimrod. Don't focus on the feeble. Don't focus on the feeble. Don't do that. You said, preach, what do you mean? Look how feeble these things are. Look how feeble these things are. Those us that are there in verse 4, they're unable to help themselves in many areas. Yet their total focus was on self. Their total focus was on self, and let's do something for us, okay? We're talking about us right here, and that was their total focus. Yet here they are, just weak human beings, so easily destroyed, so easily wiped out, okay? Very feeble. Look, you and I, before God, we're so feeble, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. You know, you think through the Bible when God wanted to deal with somebody. He didn't have to roar against them. I think about the time just a little bit later here in the book of Genesis. There in Sodom, and those two angels came into Lot's house, and the whole crowd of Sodom came after them, and they wanted to get to them, and God didn't have to do anything mighty. God just struck them with blindness. That's all. All of a sudden they couldn't tell where they were or what they were doing. When he wanted to destroy the Tower of Babel and what they were doing there, he didn't have to even organize a vast storm to blow their tower down. He didn't have to bring an army against them. He just said, aye, we can fix this. Fred there's going to start speaking Chinese. And Bill there, he's going to become an Arab. He's going to be speaking Arabic. And this guy over here is going to be speaking Hindi. And this one over here. Man, you talk about a mess. I mean, you know, I heard a guy preaching on that chapter one time, and he said, the guy up here said, hey, man, throw me up a brick. And the guy down below said, what'd you call me? Yeah. And, man, they went at it, you know. Boy, just confused. They're like, it's no problem. Why? Because man's so feeble. Man is so feeble. I mean, it's nothing for God to deal with man. Yet here we are, those people saying, let us make us a name. And here's Nimrod. Nimrod over against the Lord. Hey, he was before the Lord, but he wasn't for the Lord. What a foolish individual. It was his way with absolutely no concern for God. He stood against what God said. He stood against what God demanded. He stood against what God wanted. Man, what a feeble guy. He was a rebel in all areas of life. I mean, it was me, and I don't care about you. What a feeble guy. That, you know, standing shaking your fist in God's face. How foolish can somebody be? I was probably about 15 years old. And we lived at that time over at on Oscar, 4036 Oscar, I think it was, and right next to where the church was at that time. And I was walking across the parking lot one day. I was about 15, 16 years old. And this little kid, I don't even know where he came from. This little kid, he might have been 8 or 9. He picked up some gravel off the parking lot, and he threw it at me and cursed me and said, I'm pregnant. You know, I turned around. I go, do what? I'd never seen the kid before. Didn't know who he was. And he wanted to fight. Good grief. That would have been one to be proud of. I beat up a kid 6 years younger than me. Boy, that's something to be proud of, isn't it? Hey, it's like, I'm sorry if you're a great fan of professional wrestling, okay? But I don't know how many times, I used to enjoy wrestling. I don't anymore, but I mean, 40, 50 years ago, I did enjoy it. But it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch a guy who's over 7 foot tall wrestle a guy that's not 5 foot tall. I mean, in the real world, it is no contest, okay? Only in professional wrestling would you figure it could ever go any way but one way, all right? Hey, it's not going to happen, you know? It's like the Pee Wee football team down here at the Haltom Rec lining up against a professional football team. I think we can handle this. Oh, yeah, right. It's not going to happen. They're little feeble efforts. But, man, I think of that. That's the way it is when we rebel against God. You say, preacher, I'd never do that. But, man, I see so many Christians following that pattern laid down by Nimrod and those that followed him in his day, all right? The focus, all right, they focused on that which is feeble. They have not focused on what can be done for the Lord. Instead, their focus is totally about what man desires for himself. It's just what I want. It's just where I'm headed. It is just what I can do. Man, what a mistake. What a mistake to have your whole life and all of your life before you, and you take your life with one desire and one goal, that is to see how much of this world's stuff you can pile up, okay? Just see how much you can accumulate. So when you die, your family can fight over it. Hey, good grief, what's the purpose? What is the purpose? I was talking the other night to a guy who is, he's in security guard work. And he was talking about working for the family of the son of Trammell Crow. Now, in case you're not familiar with him, they're extremely wealthy, okay? Extremely wealthy. But he told me, he said, yeah, I've worked at his house before. So I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, all right, here's a man that has to have an armed guard at his home all the time. Hey, can I say this to you? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to have to live in fear that somebody's going to come in and maybe kidnap myself or maybe a family member and hold them hostage and won't pay ransom and everything, so you got to live with an armed guard with you all the time. No, sir, I don't want that. I don't want that. You think about what a dreadful way that'd be to live. I'm not interested. But yet that's what people focus on today. I just want to be super wealthy, you know. You got people today that's got great fame, and it's hard for them to even get out in public. They'll be mobbed because people are idiots, okay? Man, what a life. That's the way to live. That's what my goal is. Man, what a mistake. God, help us to focus our drive and our determination toward those things that are mighty. Mighty towards God. The Bible talks about those things mighty toward the pulling down of strongholds. You want to do something that's going to be for the Lord and that'll stand the test of time. And I'm going to go from that right into the last point. Hey, don't terminate at the temporary. Don't terminate at the temporary. Let's go back. You're there in Genesis. You still have your Bible open, chapter 10. The beginning, verse 10, of his kingdom was Babel. Just want to ask you, what's there now? Nothing. Nothing. Dust. Maybe some ruins. Notice the next place there, same verse, Erech. Any of y'all have any idea where that is? Well, I just want to tell you, it's not just around the corner, all right? But if you were over there today, what would be there? Nothing. Akkad, what's there? Nothing. I mean, it's just not there. Everything that's there, there's nothing there. Everything that Nimrod built, nothing's left. Nothing's left. But that was his desire, that was his goal. Why? Because he terminated on the temporary. Everything he was, all was there. It's hard to find even mention of him in history. Now, there is some mention of him, and it is there, but his kingdom, his cities are buried in the sands of time. All of it lies in ruins. He spent his labor, he spent his life on that which was temporary. Well, you think about that. Everything temporary. He had plans and dreams. He worked to bring them to fruition. For what purpose? For what purpose? You can go down the line, and because I am a student of history, I could mention to you some people at one time were very, very famous, and you'd go, who? If you're not a student of history, you wouldn't know who they were. I never heard of them. Yeah, because their focus in life was on things that are temporary. And that was where they terminated. That's where they ended. Hey, I just want to tell you something. God calls you and I to a higher purpose. He has called you and I to a higher purpose. He's called us, if you will, to an eternal production, to an everlasting prosperity. An everlasting prosperity. I'm laying up treasure, okay? But I'm not laying it up in the First National Bank or Prosperity Bank or Bank of America or any of the other local banks around, all right? That's not where it's at. I'm not piling it up there, okay? But man, I'm trying to invest into something that's going to last the test of time, that'll go down through time, something that's going to be eternal rather than that which is just temporal. Just right here now and it'll be done, it'll be gone. I'm amazed sometimes at the buildings that are built. I think of the old Texas Stadium. I think of how much money was invested into that. How much concrete. How much was put into it. And it's all sitting in a landfill somewhere. It's gone. I remember when the Rangers came to Texas. They came to Arlington. I remember going to Ranger ball game in the old Arlington Stadium over there. I remember being in that stadium. And I've attended games in the new ballpark. But now, it's outdated. We had to build it something bigger and better. Hey, isn't it amazing? It won't be long, they'll tear it down. Hey, and some of that stuff was the dream of somebody. It was their dream, but all their dream is just here. It's temporary. It doesn't last. It's not going to be here long. Hey, what's your dream? I mean, what are you planning for? What are you working for? Is it all just here now, temporary stuff? Not me. I was listening. Remember when Brother Karametros was here last Wednesday night, and he mentioned how there's some folks that are in China that one day would like to meet you. And we'd like to say thanks. Thanks, because if it hadn't been for you and people like you, I'd have never heard the gospel. I'd have died and went to hell. I'm going to tell you, where are you going to put your investment, all right? Now, don't misunderstand me, all right? I'm not against people preparing for retirement, having a comfortable. I'm not. Please don't misunderstand the preaching. But I am this. I am against us building the kingdom here and forgetting the king, all right? I am against us focusing on that which is feeble. I am against us being so tied up with that which is temporary that we lose sight of that which is eternal. And that's where we've got the opportunity to do something that will last for eternity, all right? Every person that you're a part of, them getting the gospel and them getting saved, that's eternal. That's eternal. I mean, I've been given the missions for years and years and years and years now. And I've sat and listened to multitudes of missionaries come through here and talk about how people got saved and how people got reached. I was here one time. We supported a missionary in Brazil, Don Davis. And I remember being here one night when he brought a guy in with him, and the fellow that came in with him was a Brazilian. And that Brazilian was one of the first people Brother Davis reached with the gospel in Brazil. And God called that Brazilian to be a preacher. and it's paying dividends. And we got to meet him, and boy, what a thrill that was. But then can you multiply that hundreds of thousands of times? Hey, we've got eternity to meet. All right? That which is eternal. We got eternity to meet. Hey, what we do here, it's not going to last long. It's not going to last long. If you work hard and you know, give it everything you can leave behind 6 feet of ground and a monument. You can go to cemeteries today and walk through them, and you see big mausoleums built, and you look at it, you think, who is that? There's people that are famous in the history of Fort Worth, buried over at Greenwood Cemetery, and there's a mausoleum for them. But most people today have no idea who they were. But they've got a monument to them in the cemetery. Hey, I tell you, I won't leave more than that, okay? I won't leave more than that. I won't take something with me, all right? Here's Nimrod. Well, he was a mighty hunter. But his problem was he was before the Lord, not for the Lord. Not for the Lord. He was totally consumed, okay, with the kingdom, but not the king. Didn't care for him. Defied him, rebelled against him. He was focused, and the folks around him focused on that which is so feeble. And today, if you go to that area, there's nothing left to speak of that would make you think, boy, didn't he do something wonderful? Nothing left. Nothing left. Oh, my soul, God has something better for you and I. But one thing, it starts, and we make things go better when we don't settle for substitutes. See, I believe a lot of it started way back there when they settled for the substitute. They didn't take God's best. They just looked and said, well, that'll do for now. That's good enough. No, we don't need to settle for substitutes. Listen, what about you? What about you? Those were folks, people got notions that were wrong things and they did the wrong thing. But I found out Nimrod's dead, been dead a long time. A lot of people have the same notions he did. A lot of people today, a lot of God's people today have the same notions he did. Is that you? You got a higher focus. You got a better purpose. You got something more that you're shooting for with your life. Preacher, my life's nearly over. I've got a lot less time to live than I've already lived. Well, what are you going to do with that time? What are you going to do with it? Remember the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the question. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We think about the example of Nimrod. We think about what he did and what he did with his life. And Lord, truthfully, how he wasted it. No good purpose, and everything he did is gone. He shook his fist in the face of God, rebelled against God and everything God stood for. Lord, now he's just a byword in history. Dear God, would you impress upon us, we have the opportunity to work for that which is eternal. We have the opportunity to succeed. We have the opportunity, Lord, to impact this world for you. Lord, would you help us to be honest and to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, may that be our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.